The text for our meditation this day is based on the Old Testament reading. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What should a pastor focus on in his farewell sermon to his congregation? Well, first of all, I want to thank God and thank all of you for our partnership in ministry this past year and a half as we work together in carrying out the mission and ministry of Christ. It's been a true joy. But I won't preach the kind of sermon that I preached 56 years ago at the close of my year as a vicar or pastoral intern at a large church on the north side of Chicago. I laid it on the line, telling them what I thought they needed to do to meet the challenges of ministering in their changing neighborhood. A few years later, at a church conference, I ran into one of the teachers from their parish school, and we reminisced about a year together, and then he said, "Gil, you know, just about everyone at St. Luke spoke highly of you until after your farewell sermon." So I won't be lecturing you today, but rather, as always, proclaiming the gospel of Christ and also offering some words of guidance and encouragement based on our scripture reading, including these words: "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness covers the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Gentiles will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. All from Sheba will come, bringing gold and frankincense, and proclaiming the good news and praises of the Lord." Isaiah is saying to God's people, which includes you and me, rise and shine, for your light has come. Rise and shine. Now that's a real wake-up call. Whether you first heard it years ago, maybe on school mornings from mom or dad, or maybe at summer camp, or perhaps at boot camp, yeah, those words ring out loud and clear. Rise and shine. They announce that the night is over, a new day has dawned. It's time to move from darkness to light, from spiritual lethargy, from lethargy to action. On this Epiphany Sunday, Isaiah rouses us from the January blues, shakes us out of our spiritual lethargy, gives us a wake-up call. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Isaiah announces that the dark night of sin and despair is over. The promised Messiah is coming, the light of the world, the one who will carry out God's plan of salvation for all people in all times, which is exactly what Jesus has done. His message is a hope-filled message, but it's also a challenging message for us in this new year. Because darkness seems to cover our earth, a thick darkness of sin and hatred, division and bloodshed. But into the midst of this darkness, the light of the world has come. Christ has come into our world, into our hearts and our lives, replacing the darkness of sin and evil with his light and love and saving grace. As we follow our Lord in faith each day, his light will not only enlighten us, but it will also shine through all of our caring words, our loving actions, so that many others will be drawn, as the wise men were, to worship and serve the true light of the world. Ironically, we often see God's light and love and truth most clearly At those times when we are experiencing some kind of darkness in our life. Some of you may have a spotlight behind your home that maybe illuminates the backyard at night. But if you leave it on during the day, you don't realize the light is shining. Similarly, in our spiritual life, we often see God's plans and priorities more clearly when our life becomes overcast by deepening shadows. For when our life is going along smoothly, we might tend to pay little attention to the light of the world, to His mission, to His priorities for our life. Life tends to be all about me. But when the thick darkness overshadows our life, or maybe the life of a loved one, as perhaps we or they struggle with pain or illness or depression or grief, family problems or financial problems, God's Spirit catches our attention, gives us that wake-up call, and turns our heart toward Jesus. 20 centuries ago, wise men from a distant land, perhaps modern-day Iraq, came there to the land of Israel, seeking the Savior of the world. These magi, who studied the stars and also studied religious writings, may well have studied the Old Testament scriptures, which no doubt were used by the Jews who had remained in Babylon after the majority of the Jews returned to Israel from their exile. Thus, those wise men may well have known the biblical prophecy from Numbers chapter 24. A star will come out of Jacob, a king will rise out of Israel. After their long journey, they found the Christ child, worshipped him, and then shared with him gifts that were fit for a king, gold and frankincense and myrrh, thus fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy where he said, "Gentiles will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. They will come bringing gold and frankincense." And then the Magi returned home as Isaiah had also prophesied, in order, as he said, to proclaim the good news and praises of the Lord, which is also our mission today, to proclaim the good news and praises and light of the Lord. And 20 centuries later, today, through the grace and guidance of the Holy Spirit, wise men and women of all ages and races and nations are still seeking and finding, worshiping and serving this same Jesus. However, many people around us who know something about Jesus do not know Him as their Lord and Savior, and do not live in His light or follow His truth. Isaiah's description of the spiritual and moral darkness in his day sounds a lot like our society today, where many people have pushed God out to the borders of their lives. Many have abandoned the true faith and are living self-centered lives filled with idolatry and greed and anything goes set of values. In our Western world, we have been blessed for many, many centuries with a clear revelation of God's light and truths and saving grace. And yet, as we know, many people are abandoning the true faith, choosing to live in darkness, including perhaps some of our own children or grandchildren, brothers or sisters. Some are living in the total darkness of unbelief, but many others try to have it both ways, seeking a glimmer of God's light when it suits them, but then living in the shadows and darkness of this world when it satisfies some of their goals and dreams. Nevertheless, these prophecies of Isaiah are being fulfilled in wondrous ways all around the world, as people from many nations that once lived in darkness are being drawn to faith in the true light of the world in astounding numbers, as these Spirit-filled Christians are eagerly sharing their faith in Christ with others around them and in neighboring towns and villages. For example, there are now more Lutherans in the country of Ethiopia than there are in all of North America, including all the synods. But the good news is that this saving message of the gospel of Christ is the same everywhere in the world. We all speak the same language, Christians do, that is, the same spiritual language, which proclaims that our new life, our eternal life in Christ, are found only by faith in Him. And when we live in His light and truth, we know that despite all of our flaws and faults and failures, we are God's forgiven and favored children. We know that through Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross, we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We have been restored to a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. But we dare not keep this precious message to ourselves. Early in His ministry, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But later, He said to His followers and to all of us, you are the light of the world. So let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. When I was a child, one Christmas, our Sunday school teacher gave us a little glow-in-the-dark cross. She told us that this cross had no light of its own, but when you held the cross next to a lamp, it absorbed that light, and it would shine then in the darkness with that borrowed light. Like that cross, all of our spiritual light is borrowed. We absorb the light and love and spiritual strength we need from Jesus as we spend time with Him each day in His Word and in prayer. And as we gather each week with our fellow believers to receive anew His light and power and guidance through His Holy Word and Holy Supper. And as we then walk each day in the light of Christ, He enlightens us, enabling us to serve as reflectors of His light and love and hope and peace to all those whom we encounter, including those who are still living in darkness. So rise and shine and give God the glory. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine all the time. Let it shine. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds, secure in Christ Jesus our Savior, as we follow Him and serve Him all the days of our life and forevermore. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let us now rise and share.